A blessing tonight. Hear that great song. It's a good song that is so good to hear song. And appreciate tonight all of you being here. We are grateful for the good day the Lord has already given. My wife has a table out there in the back that I trust that perhaps you will stop by and take a look. It's a book table, has a lot of good things there that will be a blessing to you. And so I trust that you will be able to stop by. There are things there that we did not have last time we were here, so you may want to stop by and take a look. Good scripture verses, of course, as always, that you can get and put a frame around and put them up in your home, you know, and keep the devil away. And so we trust that you will avail yourself of that. Good music as well, good books. And we even have some DVDs that, not DVDs, but CDs that are dramatized stories from different good solid books. So you might want to take a look. My wife can answer any questions you may have about that. All right, let's take our Bibles tonight, open, if you will, to the book of Joshua. The book of Joshua, chapter number 23 in your Bible tonight. Joshua, chapter number 23 in the Word of God. And we're going to look at verse 14 and follow along, if you will. We're going to read through verse number 16. Joshua, chapter 23, starting with verse 14. And behold, this day I am going the way of all the earth. Ye know in all your hearts and in all your souls, and not one thing have failed of all the good things which the Lord your God spake concerning you. All are come to pass unto you, not one thing hath failed thereof. Therefore it shall come to pass that as all good things are come upon you, which the Lord your God promised you, so shall the Lord bring you all evil things until he hath destroyed you from off this good land, which the Lord your God hath given you. And when ye have transgressed the covenant of the Lord your God, which he commanded you, and have done, and have gone and served other gods, and bowed yourselves to them, then shall the anger of the Lord be kindled against you. Ye shall perish quickly from off the good land which he hath given you. Let's bow our heads and hearts in prayer. Father, thank you so much for the privilege to assemble together in your house with your people. Thank you, Father, for your word. I pray you'll use it in our hearts and lives. I pray, Holy Spirit, you'll make it comprehensible. And Lord, we pray that you would help folks apply it. And Lord, that we may go out of this building tonight. Lord, being able to know the good things that you have for us in 2011. All the good things. And Lord, I just pray that the Holy Spirit would keep us from the evil things. And we'll praise you for it all in Jesus' name and for his sake. Amen. You know, there's something that all of us do every day, and that is we all make choices. Every day we make choices. You made choices today. Every day we do that. We are what we are, not on the basis of our heredity, not on the basis of our DNA. We are what we are on the basis of the choices that we make. Choices are so important in life. And they make up life. That's what life is made up of. It's made up of choices. How are you doing in your choice life? You know, how did you do in 2010 in your choice life? How are you going to do in 2011 in your choices? That is very, very important for all of us to give thought to and to consider. Now, there are basically four kinds of choices that people can make in life. Four kinds of choices. The first kind of choice that you can make that is so important is choices that are right choices. Right choices. These are choices that we make for God and with God. Not for ourselves and not with ourselves.
We make choices for God and with God. That's the right kind of choices. Now, Joshua here is coming to the end of his life. He's coming to the end of his ministry among the people of Israel. And he's giving his swan song. And he's urging the people. He's urging the people as he looks down the pathway of his life, as he looks over the years of his life, and he's urging the people to make choices for God and with God. He's saying, hey, you know, that's the reason why I can talk about the good things, the good things. If you notice there, four times you find him mentioning the good things, and all of them come from the Lord. And that's the reason why he can come to the end of his life and talk about the good things that God had done for him. What were some of the choices that Joshua made in his life? Well, he made the choice to leave Egypt. That's a picture of salvation. He left Egypt, the slavery to Pharaoh, which is a picture of Satan in the Bible. And he was set free from Pharaoh and the slavery to him and a picture of salvation. He said, I don't want to stay in Egypt. I don't want to be a slave of Pharaoh anymore. I want to be set free. And he left. He left Egypt with Moses, a great picture of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And He left the land of Egypt, and he chose to be saved. And then he made the choice in the Bible to not only be saved, but to go in the land of Canaan. You know, so many people never get the land of Canaan. They never do. You remember how that Joshua and Caleb were the only ones that went in the land of Canaan. Of all those people left Egypt, they're the only ones that ever got in the land of fruitfulness, and the land of honey, milk and honey, the land of a tremendous blessing. You remember how that the 12 spies were sent out, and they saw all the giants, and they said, you know, we can't do it. And so they came back and gave the evil report. And the Bible says that the people of Israel listened to the evil report of the 10 spies. They listened to Caleb and Joshua. By the way, no one ever knows the names of those 10 spies that, you know, didn't want to go in the land of Canaan. You know, the only ones that we know of are Joshua and Caleb by name. They wanted to go in the land of Canaan. Isn't that kind of significant of who's going to be well known in heaven? Are you going to be well known in heaven? You know, are you going to be... a person that's not well known. The people that are well known in heaven are not just saved people. They're people that say, you know what, I wanna go further with the Lord. I don't wanna just be saved. I wanna go further with God. I wanna walk with God. I wanna get close to God. You can't ever get close to God without having a total surrender. I mean, absolute total. I mean, nothing held back. And so many Christians hold back. They just never really, really let God take over. And they never know the land of Canaan in their life, the land of blessing in their life. Well, Joshua made that choice. And you go through the Bible, you find that Joshua made other choices for God. He made the choice to, not depart from the tabernacle, according to Exodus chapter 33, verse 11. He said, I'm going to be in the tabernacle. From a young person, he made that choice to be in church, to be with the people of God. He said, I'm not going to depart from the tabernacle. I'm not going to leave that. He said, that's a priority with me. That's not just something convenient. That's not just something that, if I can find time for it. No, he said, I'm not going to depart from being in the tabernacle. As a young person, he made that choice. And you go through and you find other choices for God that Joshua made. He made the choice to, say, I'm going to saturate my life with God's Word. Joshua 1:8, this book of the law shall not depart thy mouth. Thou shalt meditate therein at night, that thou mayest observe to do according to all this written therein. For therein thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and therein thou shalt have good success. He said, I'm going to saturate my life in the Word of God. And he said, I'm going to do it day and night, just not day, but during the night as well. He saturated his life with the Word of God. And he made that choice. And then you find that he made the choice he was going to serve the Lord with his family. He was going to lead his family in serving God. He said, as for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. He says, that's the priority. That's the way it's going to be for my home. Serving God is going to be first and foremost. Oh, these are choices that Joshua made. And the reason why he could come to the end of his life and talk about all the good things was because he made those choices. He made those choices for God. You know, if you're going to be able to come to the end of this year and talk about all the good things and look back over the good things God has done for you, you know, it's going to be because of one reason. You made choices for Him. You made choices for Him in church. You made choices for Him. You just sit there in the pew and never make any decisions, made any choices for God. You know, you never get too old to make choices for God. You know, choosing for God is something you do every day. You get up every morning, you make a choice for God. You know, Sunday, you make a choice for God. Sunday night, you make a choice for God. Wednesday night, prayer meeting night. You know, revival night week, you make choices for God. Say, God, I'm going to make these. Now, I'm not going to make choices for myself. You know, the old flesh, you know, the old flesh doesn't want to go sometimes. Amen to church. The old flesh doesn't want to get up and read the Bible. Yeah, but oh, I tell you what, you know, Joshua, he made choices for God. He didn't listen to his flesh. He fought the flesh. Bible says he fought Amalek. Amalek's a picture of the flesh of the Bible. He chose to fight his flesh. Said, I'm not going to let the flesh run me. He said, I'm going to fight it. I'm going to resist living in the flesh. I'm going to resist those kind of choices that are fleshly, that are for myself. They don't take God in the picture. They don't bring Him into my life. You see, making choices for God is bringing God into your life. Are you making choices for God? Do you make choices for God? Do you make choices for God this year? If you made up your mind, it's going to be choices for God and not for yourself. That's going to be the priority for your life, for your home, for your future. It's going to be choices for God. Just everything. Everything you buy. I'm going to talk to God about it. I'm not going to just go out and do it. I'm going to talk to God. Is this what you want me to do? Is this what your plan is for me? Choices for God. Joshua came to the end of his life. You know what? I just turned 70 this past year. 2010. Big year in my life. 70. I know I don't look that old. Amen. I look like I'm about 39, right? You know? I don't feel like I'm 70. You know, I really don't. You know? But they say that once you get 70, you're living from there on. You're living on borrowed time. You know, God promises 70 by strength. You might have 10 more years by strength, you know. You can reach 80, you know. But I'm 70. I plan to keep going in advance of pulling the trailer until I'm 85. I'm planning to do that. You know, a lot of evangelist friends of mine, they're not pulling trailers anymore. You know, they just kind of got soft, and they didn't want to pull the trailer around anymore. I'm being facetious here a little bit, but you know, I just plan on keep going for till 85, and then I'm going to start a church. You know, I'll start a church when I get to be 85. Caleb's my hero now. He's the one I really like. Caleb in the Bible, because you remember when he was 85 years old, he said, "I want that mountain." You know, he just wanted to keep going. Dr. Ed Nelson and some of you men just heard him at the men's conference. He wrote a letter to me, and he said, "Now, Brother Gilmore, you know, a lot of preachers are talking about retiring, and I want them to know that what they need to have happen is have their mother come and get some soap and wash their mouth out for saying that dirty word to retire, you know." Well, I'm not planning to retire. But you know, as I look over those 70 years, oh, God's been good to me. God has blessed me. So many ways as I look over those 70 years. 54 of those years knowing the Lord is my Savior. Those are the years that I'm really, when I say God's been good to me, those are really the best years. Those 54 years of knowing the Lord. Oh, God has been so good to me. You know, as I think about, why has God been so good to me over those 54 years? Is it because I'm so smart? No. Is it because I'm so good looking? Oh, no. You know, That's not the base upon which God is going to be good to you. Amen? You know, you look in the mirror and you say, mirror, mirror on the wall, who's the fairest of all? And the mirror cracks. No, it's not because I'm good. It's not because I'm so smart. It's because of my background. Did I have a godly home and a godly dad? Boy, I would like to have had a godly dad. You know, I look at my son-in-law, Jonathan, and I envy him in many ways. You know, he's had a godly home and a godly family, and I just would love to have had that. But, you know, I used to really get a little bit, feeling bad about that. But, you know, anymore I don't, because, you know what? Maybe if I'd had that kind of home, maybe I'd have rebelled. Maybe I would never have gotten saved. I'll tell you one thing. I'd rather be saved and have no godly dad than to have a godly dad and not get saved. So, you know, it's not because of my background. It's not because I'm so smart. It's not because I'm good looking. It's not because I'm talented and I've got all these talents, you know, that God has been good to me. God doesn't look at your talents and determine whether He's good, going to be good to you or not. God doesn't do that. One thing that I can say without any question, and that is that God has been good to me over those 54 years, you know, of life, and over those 70 years all told. You know, God has been so good to me, kept me alive all those years, and it's because of the choices for God that I made when I was young. Choices for God. Oh, I tell you what, that's the basis upon which God is going to be good to you. In 2011. Choices for God and not for yourself or with yourself. Not choices for the world. Not choices for friends, and choices for material things, and choices for the pleasures of this world. That's not going to be the basis upon which God is going to be good to you. God has been good to me over the years because of choices for Him. I made that choice to get saved. I made that choice to surrender all to the Lord. I made that choice to saturate my life with the Word of God. You know, and just recently I made the choice to start getting the Word of God at night. You know, I read that verse in Joshua 1:8, this book of the law, and I've always been one, to be in the Word of God in the morning. I was challenged to make that decision when I was a young man. I made that decision, and for many years of my life, you know, for all these years, I've been in the Word of God in the morning. But you know what? All of a sudden, it just reached out. And, you know, that's why you ought to be in the Bible, because you can constantly read over, and then all of a sudden you read that verse hundreds of times, and you read it again, and boy, something pops out and gets a hold of you. And as I read that verse, Joshua 1:8, this book, in fact, my pastor was preaching on it just recently, and it said that Joshua was in the Word of God day and night. I said, you know, Lord, I made the choice a long time ago to be in the Word of God in the day. But Lord, you know what? I've not really made that choice to be in the Word of God at night. I said, I'm going to make that choice. I'm going to start, you know, see, you don't get too old to start making choices for God. Right. You just start, are constantly making choices for God in your life, you know? Choices for God. That's why God has been so good to me. He has blessed my life because of choices for God. Listen, happy are the people who learn that the way to happiness, the way to joy, the way to peace in your life is to stop making choices for yourself and start making choices for God. That's the way. Oh, listen, I'm so thankful for over those years for choices for God I made when I was young. That's why God has been so good to me. Choices for God. Now, there are other kinds of choices you make in your life. There are accidental choices. You know, those are choices, you know, that aren't so weighty and so heavy. You know, you make a choice to make a turn here, and it's the wrong choice. You end up in Timbuktu, you know. I mean, accidental choice. We all make those in life, don't we? Accidental choice. You're going to make those in 2011, accidental choices. Why? Because you're human. You know, human beings don't know what's around the world. We don't know everything. Sometimes I make a wrong turn, you know. And I say to my wife, well, you're not God. You know, I mean, God knew there was a detour coming down the road. God knew, but you're not God. You didn't know that. So, you know, there are going to be accidental choices. God is the only one who never makes accidental choices. He never says, oops, that was the wrong choice there. You know, He never does that. That's how great He is, you know. He's a God that always makes the right choices. He always does. That's why I want him to be in charge of my life. Amen? Because he'll make the right choices. When I put him in charge of my life, he'll make the right choice. He'll help me to make the right choices. He'll give me discernment and wisdom to make the right choices. And then there's incidental choices. You know, we make those all the way in life. Incidental choices. Like what tie you're going to wear when you come to church. Some of you made a choice about that. Now, as I look at some of the ties out there, it's not the choice I'd have made, but... But, you know, we make choices, you know, what tie we're going to wear. You know, my wife is always saying, honey, should I wear this? Should I wear that? I said, I don't know. You know, how do I going to know that? And she's got to make these choices. She stands in front of her closet about an hour and trying to decide which thing she's going to wear, you know. We all make incidental choices, don't we? What pair of shoes we're going to wear? What kind of car are we going to buy? Those are incidental choices. They're not really weighty. They're not really important, that important. They don't carry a lot of heavy consequences with them. There's not a lot of hurt and regret over those kind of choices, those incidental choices. They don't affect your eternity. They don't affect your entire life. They don't affect your loved one's life and others' lives. They're not that weighty. But then there's a fourth kind of choice. And this choice is a really, really important kind of choice. And that is wrong choices. Wrong choices. Choices for ourselves. Choices leaving God out. Choices of not making choices for God. Leaving God out. Not making the choice to get saved. Not making the choice to surrender all. Not making the choice to, deal with sin in our life. Just let it stay there. Let it hang around. And just let it affect us. Choices that are wrong choices. Leaving God out. That's what the people of Israel did later on. Joshua's warning them, don't make wrong choices. Because the result of wrong choices, evil things, not good things, but evil things, come into our life because of wrong choices. The people of Israel, they stopped making godly choices. They chose to transgress the covenant of the Lord your God. They chose to bow down to other gods and serve other gods. As a result of that, there were consequences that came that were not good consequences. They were evil consequences. You know, wrong choices are very weighty. They affect our eternity. To not get saved, a person that doesn't make that choice, they're going to be in hell for all eternity. That's forever. Boy, that's a big choice. What you do with Christ, what you do with the matter of getting saved is so weighty. It is heavy. There's nothing more important of a choice you can make in your life. You can't be neutral about Christ. You can't say, well, you know, I'm just going to, you know, he's a nice person. He's a good man. You know, my friend, you've rejected him. You need to make the choice to receive him as your Savior. To bow your knee and say, Lord Jesus, you died for me. Lord Jesus, you're the only one who can take away my sin. Lord, I need you save my soul. That choice for God. That affects your eternity. The choices, wrong choices, not only affect your eternity, they affect your loved ones and others. The sins of the parents are reaped in the children, the third and fourth generations. Mom and Dad, your choices. Leaving God out are going to affect your children. Third and fourth generations. Your grandkids, grandkids. Your kids and grandkids for four generations. Oh, wrong choices are choices that will affect your entire life. Your entire life. You know, there, as a result of that, are many people tonight who have much hurt, much regret, much remorse in their life. There's much guilt in many people's lives because of wrong choices. They are people that are filling their life with fun and food and folly of booze and drugs. Why? They're trying to get away from the remorse and the regret of wrong choices. They like to go back and make some choices over, but they can't do it. They'd like to do that. I'm sure that there isn't a person in this building who wouldn't like to go back and make a wrong choice right and turn from that wrong choice in your life. All of us have made wrong choices. But you know something? As a result of those wrong choices, many people are living in great despair. Sometimes that despair turns to suicide. Because of the wrong choices, the remorse and the regret and the guilt of it becomes so heavy in their life. But you know, the Bible is a book of good news for people who've made wrong choices. It's a book of good news for people who've made wrong choices. And we need to be telling that good news, Christians. We need to be telling people there's hope for people who've made wrong choices. It's not too late for you to know the good things of God, even though you made wrong choices. You know, it's not too late for you to know that, even though your youth's gone, to make choices for God. It's not too late for you to know good things of God in your life in 2011. It's not too late. You see, there's hope for people who have made wrong choices. In the book of Joel, and if you want to turn there, you can. In the book of Joel, at chapter number 2, the Bible tells us about the people of Israel. And the people of Israel had gotten away from making choices for God. And they began to make choices for themselves and with themselves. They began to make choices of sin. And they began to bow down and worship false gods. And they were even so far away from making choices for God that they were sacrificing their own children to heathen gods. They were making wrong choices. Their life was filled with wrong choices. And judgment was going to come because of their sinful choices. Judgment was going to come. But God, as we point out this morning, is a God who wants to deliver people from judgment, from wrong choices and sinful choices that they have made. And so God tells them that there is hope, even though they've made wrong choices. There's hope for them. He says there in Joel chapter number 2, if they are willing to repent of those wrong choices and start making choices for God, they can have the good things of God in their life. They can escape the evil consequences of the wrong choices they made. Look at Joel chapter 2 verse 12. The Bible says there verse 12, therefore also now saith the Lord, turn ye even to me with all your heart. See, be sincere. Be repentant. Turn to me with all your heart. And with fasting and weeping and mourning, what that means is sincerity. Turn to me with all your heart. There's hope for those who are willing to repent of the wrong choices and start making choices for God. You know what? It's not too late for you to know the good things of God in your life. You can still have them, even though your youth's gone. Even though you've made a lot of wrong choices in your life, it's not too late for you to know the good things of God in your life. You can know the good things of God, your life filled with the good things of God, if you're willing to repent of wrong choices and start making choices for God. Choice to get saved, receive Christ. The choice to surrender all to the Lord as a Christian. The choice to deal with sin in your life that is robbing you of the blessing of God. The choice to, start being in church regularly. The choice to start reading your Bible, not only in the day, but at least start in the day. But then the choice to get in your Bible in the nighttime. The choice to serve the Lord as a family. To be the leader of your home as a father. To start leading your family in things of God. Having a family altar. Praying with your family. And praying and leading them. That's the choices. You know, you make those choices for God, and you can start knowing some good things. The good things of God. Your life can be filled with the good things of God this year. As never before. You look over 2010, man, you can see a lot of evil things. You know why? You've not made choices for God. You made choices for yourself and with yourself in 2010. What you need to do is repent of making choices for yourself. Repent of making choices without God. And say from here on out, in 2011, it's going to be choices for God that's going to be first and foremost in my life, in my home, in my family. It's going to be choices for God that's going to be... I'll tell you what, you start doing that, I'll tell you 2011 could be the richest, fullest year in your life. You can have the good things of God in your life. You can come the end of this year and you can talk about the good things. Even as Joshua is coming to the end of his life and he looks back over the years and he says, you know what? God has been so good to me. Why? Because Joshua made those choices for God. Now, there are three reasons why it's never too late for people know the good things of God in their life, no matter how old they are, no matter how many wrong choices they made. It's never too late to know the good things of God if you're willing to repent of the wrong choices and you're willing to start making choices for God in your life. Maybe the choice to get saved. Maybe the choice to deal with sin. Maybe the choice to get baptized since you've been saved, join the church. Maybe the choice to surrender all to the Lord. It's never too late. Why is that so? Why? Because God will be merciful to those who do. God will be merciful to those who repent of wrong choices and start making choices for God. See, it's not just repent of wrong choices, but to start making choices. It's not only the negative, but there's a positive. Start making choices for God. Look in Joel chapter number 2 at verse number 13. The Bible says, and rend your heart, not your garments. Turn unto the Lord your God, for He is gracious. And watch it. And merciful. Slow to anger. And of great kindness. And that repenteth him of the evil. He is God that is compassionate. He sees the evil choices that you've made and the hurt and the regret and the remorse and the guilt that is filling your life because of those wrong choices. And you know what? He wants to be merciful, and He will, if you will repent of those wrong choices and start making choices for God. Psalm 86:5 says, for Thou, Lord, art good and plenteous in mercy unto all that call upon Thee. Isn't that good? The Bible says in Isaiah 55:7, let the wicked forsake his way and that righteous man his thought, and let him return to our God, and He will have mercy upon him, and to our God, for He will abundantly pardon. He will abundantly pardon. God wants to do that. He wants to forgive you of those wrong choices you've made. And He'll do it if you'll repent of those wrong choices and start making choices for Him. He will forgive you those wrong choices. Good things can begin to fill up your life for 2011. It's never too late for those who have made wrong choices. They're willing to repent to know the good things of God. And for those who are willing to make choices for God, it's never too late. Why? Not only because God will be merciful to those who do, but because God will bring great gain to those who do. God will bring great gain. Look in your Bible, if you will, to Joel chapter number 2. And we'll look at those verses in just a minute. But you know, this is why there's so little repenting going on today. Repentance is a word that is, you know, totally looked away from. I mean, it doesn't seem very attractive at all, repentance. Most people think that if they repent, it'll mean great pain. No, my friend. Repentance will bring great gain. Amen. It'll bring great gain into your family. It'll bring great gain into your personal life. Repentance ought to be your friend. Repent something you ought to throw your arms around, embrace. Not spurn and turn away from. And think it's going to bring great pain in my life if I repent of wrong choices and I start making choices for God. It's going to bring great pain. No, the opposite is true. It'll bring great gain. Look what would be the great gain that would come in the people of Israel if they would repent of their wrong choices. Look at Joel chapter 2, verse 19, if you will. Yea, the Lord will answer and say to His people. Start answering prayer. Amen. You know, your life as a Christian won't be as dry as last year's bird's nest. I mean, your prayer life will begin to see some things happening that you never saw before. Behold, I will send you corn and wine and oil, and ye shall be satisfied therewith. Satisfied. therewith. And I will no more make you reproach among the heathen, but I will remove far off from you the northern army and will drive him into a land barren and desolate, with his face toward the east sea and his hinder part toward the utmost sea, and his stink shall come up and his ill savor shall come up because he hath done great things. Fear not, O land, be glad and rejoice, for the Lord will do great things. God will do some great things. When you're willing to repent of wrong choices and start making choices for God, God says, I'll do great things. Verse 22, be not afraid, ye beasts of the field, for the pastures of the wilderness do spring, for the tree beareth her fruit. There will be fruitfulness. The fig tree and the vine do yield their strength. Be glad then, ye children of Zion. Not sad. Repentance doesn't bring sadness, it brings gladness. Brings gladness in your life, in your heart, in your home. Be glad then, ye children of Zion, and rejoice in the Lord your God, for he hath given you the former rain moderately. He will cause to come down for you the rain, the former rain, the latter rain in the first month. The latter rain. You'll get that. You'll get the rain that you didn't have before. You'll get that restored. The latter rain, the latter blessings that you've forfeited all these years. You'll get those blessings. The latter rain, God says, in the first month. And the floor shall be full of wheat, and the fat shall overflow with wine and oil. Listen, is that pain? My friend, that's great gain as far as I'm concerned. As I look at that scripture, God is saying, people of Israel, if you're willing to repent of the wrong choices and start making choices for me, I'll tell you what, I'll bring great gain in your life. I'll bring good things into your land. I'll bring good things. That's what America needs to do. America needs to repent. You know, that we might know the good things of God. We've been living without God in this country. And we are suffering economically. We are suffering in so many different ways. We need to repent. That's what America needs. That we might have great gain and great blessing. Listen, we repent. America can know revival. And the blessings of revival. As I look at the prodigal son. You remember how the prodigal son made that wrong choice to leave his godly father. And he said, I want my inheritance. And I don't want these rules anymore. I don't want these regulations. I don't want the spiritual things anymore. I just want my inheritance. I want to go out and live the way I want to live. And he went out there and he lived the way he wanted to live. He got the wrong friends in his life. And you know, when you stop making choices for God, you start making choices for yourself. You know what? There's going to be wrong friends get in your life, and there's going to be all kinds of things begin to happen. And these wrong friends just liked him for his money. And finally, when the money was all gone, they deserted him. They left him there, you know. I'll never forget one time I was talking to a guy about getting saved. And he said, no, I don't want to get saved. He said, I'm going to actually get saved. And I said, well, what's the reason? You know, he said, well, if I got saved, I'd have to give up all my friends. And he said, you know, I like my friends, and I'm just not willing to part with my friends. And you know, it was a few weeks after that, I don't know how long, maybe a little longer than that, maybe a month or two, I got a phone call from that guy. And he said, Pastor, he said, could you come over to my house? He said, I've changed my mind. I want to get saved. Man, I went over there. I tell you what, I'm so glad to go over there. And I led him to Jesus Christ. He just like plucking fruit, you know, fruit that was ripe. And he received the Lord. And I said to him, I said, you know, just a while ago, you didn't want anything to do with getting saved. What changed your mind? He said, well, Pastor, he said, all those friends I was talking about, the best friend I had stole my car and left me without it. And he said, I don't want to have those kind of friends anymore in my life. Amen. I want to have friends that will stick by me. Oh, I tell you what, how many people die and go to hell because of a friend? All my friend. My friend. You know, if I got saved, my friend would laugh at me, my friend would make, and they die and go to hell, hang on to a friend. And the fact of the matter is, that person would probably, not be anywhere close. In fact, I know they'd be nowhere close to the friend that Jesus will be. Jesus, a friend, will stick closer to you than a brother. He'll never forsake you. Boy, you bring the right kind of friends. I got friends all over this country. You know, I mean, if I had a need, I could call so many people. Man, I'd have people right there to help me. Oh, the Lord's brought so many good friends in my life. And He'll bring good friends in your life to make up for those friends that, you know, will part with you as soon as they find out you get saved. Oh, listen. Friends. Well, this is what happened, that prodigal son. And he got those friends. He's down that hog pen. He's just about ready to eat the hog slop. I mean, he's a Jewish boy. You know, Jews don't like to hang around hogs. And he's in that hog pen. And he comes to himself and he says, oh, what a wrong choice I've made to leave my home. Why, my father's servants, they got it better than I do. I don't even have any shoes. They got shoes, my father's servants. And they're eating so much better than I am. Oh, I'm going to repent. I'm going to go back to my father. And you know, that father would get up every morning. He'd look down the road, you know. He'd see if his son was coming. And oh, I'll tell you something. One day he sees this form coming towards him. And he watches that form. And maybe it's his son. And you know, I'm sure that father's praying every day. Oh, bring my son back. And he sees that form coming towards him. And all of a sudden, he gets closer and closer. He realizes it's his son. And he runs. He doesn't wait for him to come to him. He runs right after him. And you know, the boy says, Father, I'm sorry. Make me one of the hired servants. He says, no. And he embraces. I mean, that fellow was probably stinking. That fellow was probably filled with all kinds of terrible smells. And yet that father was so glad. He didn't say, go take a bath and I'll hug you. He hugged him right there. Amen. He was so glad to see his boy repent. And repent of the wrong choice he made. And start making choices for God. He was so glad. Just as God will be so glad when you repent of those wrong choices. And I repent of those wrong choices. And we start making choices for God. Oh, God is so glad. And look at the good things that God will do. We see them kind of typified in the good things that this father did to the prodigal son. What were some of those good things? He gave him a ring of great value right there. He gave him a ring of great value. He brought the best robe. The best robe. I mean, it was a hand-me-down. It was the best robe. It wasn't a Walmart special. It was the best robe. He gave him the best robe. And he also, the Bible says, killed the fatted calf. That was a calf that was saved for a special occasion. I mean, the fatted calf. I mean, this is the calf that just wasn't any ordinary calf. It was the fatted calf. And he said, let's kill the fatted calf. Let's have a great big time of rejoicing. Now, folks, as I look at that, I don't look at repentance as bring a great pain in your life. Brings great gain. Brings great gain. The third reason why it's not too late for you, even though you may be up in years, to start making choices for God, repent, and start making choices for God, and know the good things that God has still in store for you. It's not too late. You say, oh, Brother Gilmore, I'm not young anymore like you. I threw my youth to the wind, and I lived in sin, and I, you know, a lot of wrong choices in my life. And you could maybe hang your head in shame and say, you know, I can't talk about all the good things as I look over my life. No, you may not be able to do it tonight, but I'll tell you what, you repent of those wrong choices and start making choices for God, and from here on out, you can know the good things of God. Why? Because God is a God who will be merciful to those who do. Because God is a God who will bring great gain in the lives of people who repent of their wrong choices. And then because God is a God who, if you make right choices and godly choices and you start making those choices and you repent of wrong choices, God is a God who will restore the years of the locusts of Eden. He'll restore the years. Did you see that in Joel chapter number 2 and verse number 25? This is amazing. This is amazing. And I will restore to you the years the locusts have eaten. I don't know how God does that. You know, I mean, that's miraculous, amen. You know, that releases the marvelous power of God to work miracles in your life. to straighten up messes in your life that has come because of wrong choices. Maybe messes in your home, your marriage. Maybe messes in other areas of your life, financially. God, when we repent of wrong choices and we start making choices for God, God releases His power to work absolute miracles. I mean, folks, it's a miracle to restore the ears of locusts have eaten. That's a miracle. Only God can do that. But that's what He'll do. When a person is willing to repent of the wrong choices, the sinful choices they've made, and start making choice for God. Maybe a choice to get saved. That's a choice. That's the first choice for God you can make in your life. Get saved. Receive Christ. The choice to deal with sin. The choice to surrender. The choice to start a saturated life by the Word of God. The choice to be in church regularly. The choice to obey the Lord in areas of tithing and church membership. And the choice to raise your family. Be the spiritual leader of your home. I tell you what, those are choices that release the power of God to work miracles in your life. I'll tell you what, first of all, it releases the power of God to work miracles in the lives of others. Lives of others. I'll never forget there was a man that came to me one time in the church I was in. And his boy was rebellious. His boy was just not living for God. This man said, you know, I got away from the Lord. And he said, I got right with the Lord, but my son is just still away from the Lord. And he's just really caused a lot of heartache. And I said to him, I said, you know, let me ask you something. Sir, have you ever repented to your son and said that you're, you know, one, that you want him to forgive you because of not being the godly example you should be? Have you ever repented of him? And he said, no, I haven't. I said, well, you know, hey, I'll pray, but you know what? There'll be a lot more power in a prayer if you're willing to humble yourself and repent of the fact that you've not been the right example in your boy and ask him to forgive you for those backsliding years and just you know, repent of it and say, son, by God's grace, I'm going to start being the dad I ought to be and the godly leader I ought to be and the testimony I ought to be. And I said, you know, I challenge you that, you know, hey, I believe God will give power in our prayers if you're willing to do that. I don't know what you're going to do. That's up to you. So he left and I didn't know what he's going to do. He didn't say one way or the other what he's going to do. But the next day in chapel, I was preaching in that Christian school they had, and we had heaven come down. And I want to tell you something. Kids got right with God, and kids were saved. And there was a mighty powerful, I don't know if I've ever been a more powerful chapel service. And you know, we came to evening service, and there was an air of excitement. People had kind of heard about what was going on. And this dad that had talked to me about his wayward son, came up to me and he said, Brother Gilmore, heard about that chapel and I want you to know something. My son was one of those boys that got saved. I tell you something. It released the power of God. When that father was willing to repent of wrong choices and start making choice for God, it released the power of God and he saw his boy's life change. Because, you see, when we repent of wrong choice and make choice for God, it releases the power of God to work miracles. Not only miracles in the lives of others, but miracles in our lives. You know, I have a dear pastor friend of mine. He's one of my dear friends. And he's out in Colorado and he's pastoring. You know, his testimony is an amazing thing. When he was just 22 years old, he had completely ruined his life. He was a professional rock musician. He had become a drug addict. His wife was an alcoholic. Their marriage was falling apart because of his sinful choices. You know, I mean, tell you something, his body was being destroyed. His body was filled with all kinds of consequences because of his sinful choices. And he was in a hospital. He's laying in this hospital bed. Whether he's ever going to be able to walk again is up in the air. I mean, soul shattered by the life of sin that he's been living and those choices. He's laying there in the hospital bed. And you know what? There was a young man that came in to his hospital room. He didn't know this young man at all. And the young man didn't know him. And this young man told him something he'd never heard before. You know what was he never heard before? That Jesus Christ came into the world to die for him. He had never really heard that. That Jesus Christ, God's Son, went to the cross and died for his sins. And that he could be saved from all the sins that he committed. He could be forgiven of all those sins. And he could have a brand new life. And do you know, right there in that hospital, that young man who had been so shattered by sinful choices and his life so shattered and scarred by sinful choices, right there, that young man in that hospital room received the Lord Jesus Christ as Savior. And his alcoholic wife got saved. And you know what? God brought them together. And today, that young man is a pastor of one of the most thrilling churches I've ever been in Colorado, Brighton, Colorado. You see, folks, it's never too late to know the good things of God when you're willing to repent of wrong choices and start making choices for God. Let's bow our heads and our hearts in prayer. Father, we thank you so much for the Word of God. And I pray the Holy Spirit will take these truths tonight and you'll apply them to our hearts, Lord, by your Spirit. And Lord, help us to respond. Lord, help us respond to your Word. Help us, Lord, that we might realize it's not too late for those who have made wrong choices if they're willing to repent. It's not too late for those who are filled with hurt and regret and remorse and guilt to know the good things of God in 2011. If they're willing to repent of wrong choices and start making choices for God, they can know the good things of God. Lord, I pray that the Holy Spirit will work. I pray that you will show us choices for God we need to make tonight. There are saved people here need to make some choices for God. Lord, I pray they'll make them so that this year could be the best year in their walk with God. Good things filled with a life of good things from God. God, you're a good God. You want to give good things. You've got abundance of blessings up there for us. He's willing for us to repent. He's willing, waiting for us to repent and start making choice for you, and those good things begin to be poured out. Lord, I pray that your Spirit would just work in all our hearts and lives tonight. And that person has never made that choice for God, that major choice for God, to receive Jesus Christ as their Savior. Oh, I pray that tonight they'll make that choice. In Jesus' name, heads are bowed, eyes are closed, please. No one's looking around. Let me ask this question tonight. How many can say, preacher, you know what? I know for sure I'm going to heaven. I know for sure if I was to die right now, I'd go to heaven and not to hell. It's a certainty in my life. I know that for sure because there's been a time and a place in my life when I've made the choice to repent of my sin and receive Jesus Christ my Savior. Preacher, I know from the Bible if I was to die, I'd go to heaven, not to hell. If you could say that honestly, truthfully, where you see it, would you slip that hand right up there high and hold it there and say, preacher, I know. I know if I was to die, I'd go to heaven, not to hell. That's a choice that has been made in my life. And I know from the Bible I'm going to heaven, not to hell. Let that hand hold there. Hold it there just a few seconds. If you would, all right, don't raise it. Don't raise it unless you say, preacher, I know from the Bible. Please don't raise it. You know, don't do that because you don't know if you don't know from the Bible. All right, if you raise it and you may put it down. I wonder if there's someone here tonight say, preacher, you know, I couldn't raise my hand. I don't know that for sure. I don't know of a good thing that's better to know. I don't know of a better good thing you could ever have in your life than to know for sure, not hope or think or maybe, but know for sure you're going to heaven, not to hell. My friend, that is what will be yours when you make the choice to turn from your sin and receive Christ your Savior. Say, preacher, I couldn't raise my hand a moment ago. I don't know that for sure, but I'd like to know. I'd like to make that choice. I'd like to make that choice to receive Christ as my Savior tonight. And would you pray for me in the prayer? Here's my hand. Would you lift that hand quickly? Anybody like that across the building? Just lift it up high. Say, preacher, I'd like to make that choice. I'd like to start out 2011 with making this choice to receive Jesus Christ, my Savior. Too long, I've left the Lord out. Too long, I have just live for myself. I want to make the choice for God and receive Christ tonight as my Savior. If that's you, would you slip that hand right up there high? Just lift up high. Just lift up high. Anybody like that? Anybody like that tonight? All right, here's another question. How many say, preacher, I'm saved, I know the Lord. But you know what? There's some choices for God I need to make. Maybe there's some wrong choices you have made. And there's some sin there, and you need to repent of those wrong choices and repent of that sin. Maybe there's some choices for God you need to make. You know, maybe surrender your life. Maybe deal with some sin. Maybe get baptized. Maybe join the church. Maybe get back to coming to church regularly. Maybe reading your Bible every single day. Maybe starting at night to get in the Word of God. Maybe to be the father that leads your family spiritually. To lead your children and your family for God. Maybe that's the choice you need to make. The good things are hanging in the balance. Good things. Do you want to leave them out? Do you want to just forfeit them? Or do you want them in your life? Say, preacher, there's some choices for God I need to make as a Christian. God spoke in my heart. I made that choice to get saved, but there's some choices for God as a Christian I need to make. And by God's grace, I'm going to make those choices. Maybe it's a choice to repent. Maybe it's a choice to get something done in your life that needs to get done, or deal with something that needs to be dealt with. You say, preacher, pray for me. There's some choices I need to make for God tonight. Here's my hand. Would you lift that hand? Just lift up high all over the building. Yes, God bless you all over the building. Anybody else? Preacher, God spoke in my heart. I want those good things that God has. And I know there's some choices I've been leaving out. There's been choices for God I'm leaving out. And there's some wrong choices I've been making. I want to repent of them and throw them out of my life and start making choices for God and with God, not for myself, and with myself. Here's my hand. Anybody else along with this? These who have lifted their hands. All right, let's do this. Let's all stand, please. Every head's bowed, every eyes closed. I want us to turn in our hymn books to a song. I don't know if you're familiar with this.